Dear friends in Jesus Christ, welcome on this Palm Sunday 2023. Great to see you today. Try to imagine this situation. So here you are in Jerusalem, you have traveled there in order to celebrate the Passover. Keep in mind, people were traveling from all over the known world in order to be there for that very special event, and multitudes are with you, so many people, you couldn't even count them. It's interesting that Josephus, 40 years after the time of Jesus, he notes that during Passover time, the city would swell to about 2 million people. It was incredible. That was what was going on at the time of Jesus. And then keep in mind, too, that many are thinking that this Jesus, that he is the promised Messiah. They have heard about his great teaching. They have heard about his great miracles. And they are thinking he is the one. And they are so longing to see him. As the week begins, people are super excited about Jesus. But what about the Jewish leaders, though? If you were with us on our Wednesdays leading up to today, you know that they had already decided that they had no choice here because of the entire situation. We must arrest him as soon as we can, and we must have him put to death. What a contrast. So many loving him, and then some so much hating him. Why was that? Why did people love him? Let's deal with that first. Why did they love him? They did so because they believed he was the promised Messiah. He was the son of David. He was the king of Israel. What does that all mean? You have to keep in mind here that Israel had been ruled by other nations for over 600 years. They had not been a free nation all of that time. There was always another nation ruling over them. So what were they longing for? They were longing for this great deliverer who would come, who would rally the Jewish people together, and who would defeat the Romans so they could become again a free nation. I think that's what most people were thinking about. That is why they were excited. What about with the Jewish leaders? Why did they hate Jesus so much? Well, the regular Jewish people, they were beginning more and more to follow Jesus. They were no longer paying attention to the Jewish leaders. And what did that make the leaders start to wonder and worry about in a very serious way? Oh, our jobs might be in jeopardy. The Romans might come in. They might destroy our entire nation. So they were very worried about such things. And what should they do? We've got to arrest Jesus. We've got to put him to death. He's the problem. Let's get rid of the problem and everything will be fine. With all of that in mind, we go back to our text now, today's gospel reading. We're in Matthew 21, and we see some of the behind-the-scenes preparation for Jesus' procession into Jerusalem. When they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you." That would be the village of Bethany. "Go into that village, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." So first of all, first order of business, Jesus said, get the donkey. That's what we need for this procession. So he told them very clearly, go, you're going to find the donkey, you're going to find the colt with her, untie them, you're going to be asked a question, here's the answer to give, give the answer, bring the donkey and the colt back to me. So he made it real clear, real simple. Now when you think about all that he said though, let's realize some things here. Let's realize that Jesus knows everything. So what did he know? He knew about the donkey's location. Without ever having gone there or anything, he knew about the location. He knew the question that the owner would ask. He knew the response that the owner would give. when the disciples said what they were supposed to say. Also, too, what else did Jesus know? He knew every detail about his impending suffering and death. He knew all about it. He also knew about the great ministry that each of his disciples would have in traveling throughout the world in order to proclaim his life, his death, and his resurrection, and to call all people to repent. He knew about that too. And what else could we say he knows right this very moment? He knows exactly what's going on in each one of our minds and each one of our hearts. He knows exactly what we are thinking and why we are thinking it. He knows exactly what we are believing. He knows who belongs to him and who is being false by giving some kind of an outward impression, oh, I'm a follower of Jesus, when in their hearts they're wanting to go their own way and do their own thing. He knows every single detail of everything. Let's not try to fool God. Let's not try to fool anybody else. Let's be completely honest, realizing that God knows everything. And who is Jesus? He is the very Son of God. And then I think Jesus was trying to say to his disciples, hey guys, here we are in Bethphage. I want you to be aware of the important location that we are in. I want you to see how this ties in to history. So think about it like this. If we take a look at the map here, so you can see in red there we have the temple in Jerusalem. And then if you look to the right, to the east, you can see Bethphage. You can see Bethphage very close to the Mount of Olives, and then you can see down to the south there, you can see Bethany. So they arrive there in Bethphage, and then he sends them down to Bethany to get the donkey and the colt, and then bring them back to Bethphage, and then they're going to process in from Bethphage about 1 mile into Jerusalem. Why is that all significant? Well, you have to go back to 600 plus years earlier, and that was when God gave a great vision to Ezekiel. And Ezekiel was seeing the glory of God rise up out of the temple in Jerusalem and then move over to the location of Bethphage there on the Mount of Olives. Why was that? God was saying to Ezekiel, he was saying, the city of Jerusalem is done. The temple is done. I'm leaving town because the Babylonians are going to come in a final time and they're going to destroy the city and they're going to destroy the temple. Why did God do that? Because the majority of the people were unrepentant. They are worshiping all these false gods. They are living in disobedience. And God was saying, I'm not going to stick around when they come and do their destruction. I'm leaving. But where did he go, though? He left the temple and he went over to Bethphage. What is happening now on Palm Sunday? Now we have the very Son of God who has perfectly glorified God the Father. What about all of us? The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God except for Jesus. He has perfectly glorified God the Father by putting on flesh, by living a perfect life, and he's about ready to finish his work going all the way to the cross. So the glory of God is now going to return from that location from 600 years earlier. He's going to return now back into the temple, kind of a final opportunity for the people of Jerusalem to receive their Savior. What ended up happening, though? Again, they rejected him, and probably thinking especially about Tuesday night of Holy Week, after people were so excited. Now he leaves again. A final opportunity. So many people in the world today are not believing. And there are different opportunities, though, that God is giving them here and there. So often people squander the opportunities. One day, with one opportunity, that will be the final one, and then they will head on to eternal punishment. God is saying to anyone who is not yet in Christ, who is not certain of God's forgiveness through Jesus, don't miss the opportunity even today. God is always calling people, repent and believe before it is too late, and one day it will be too late. Let's go on. We come now to God's unfolding plan here. So picking up in the text, it says, this took place. In other words, these behind-the-scenes preparations, they took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Zechariah. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal, the baby of a beast of burden. So understand it like this. Before the creation of the world, God had a grand plan to save the world. God knew what would happen with a fall into sin, so God had this amazing plan. And then 500 plus years before the time of Palm Sunday, what did God the Holy Spirit do? He moved Zechariah to tell in advance what would happen on Palm Sunday. Even in the world today, are things happening that like God didn't know about? By no means. God knows all about everything. So we shouldn't be surprised. God is calling us to keep trusting in him. Then we might wonder, though, why a donkey and not a powerful war horse? Wouldn't that have been more fitting? Here's the very Son of God. Why on a donkey? Well, we do see from the Old Testament that Solomon, David's son, did ride on a donkey. But think about it like this too, though. Jesus rode a very humble animal. Why did he do that? Jesus himself was so humble. We saw that from today's epistle reading. When you think about his humility, what does that mean? Jesus is not doing it his way. He's not trusting in himself. He's trusting in God the Father, and he's doing it his way. Even if he doesn't like it, he's going to do it the way of the Father. He was showing complete humility, and he wants us to do the same. Aren't we all tempted to do it our way, to do our own thing, and to think somehow God will accept that and it's going to work out okay? When we go our own way and do our own thing, we are trusting in ourselves, and God lets us fail because he wants us ultimately to trust in him. That is the best thing. And then we see some more behind-the-scenes preparation. The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats. So what we see here is that everything is in place now there in Bethphage. They have the donkey. Jesus is on the donkey, and they're ready to start moving toward Jerusalem and going from the east. The glory of the Lord departed from Jerusalem to the east, and now from the east, he's going to return back into Jerusalem. So we come now to this approximately 1 mile procession from that location into Jerusalem. So there were people behind him, there were people in front of them, and they're about ready to move into Jerusalem. The Bible says, most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road. This was a way to show honor to Jesus, the great king. So they're willing to take off their own garments, throw them right on the ground so that the donkey could walk over them. The ones who maybe didn't have a coat or something they could put down, they're using the palm branches. They're doing whatever they could to give him as much possible honor as they could. Now we might say, why were they doing it? Well, I hinted to that already, and we'll get to that a little bit more. But they thought they were doing the very best thing. And then we do see the crowds, so crowds in front of him, crowds behind him. The Bible says the crowds going ahead of him and those who followed, they were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. What were they saying? They were saying, save us, we pray, Son of David. That's what Hosanna means, save us, we pray, Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Can you imagine all the shouting over and over and over again as they are moving in this 1 mile procession to Jerusalem? Those great crowds, they were welcoming Jesus as the promised Messiah, as the Son of David, as the King of the Jews. This is a huge thing. God made the promise that he would send his son over 4,000 years earlier, and now he is here, and the people are so happy, and they are so excited. We might say, though, why is it that they acknowledged him? Why is it that they prayed to him? Save us, we pray. Why is it that they wanted the Lord God Almighty to bless him? I think that most of the people, they wanted all of that because they wanted him, they wanted Jesus to gather them together and lead them against the Romans and conquer the Romans and again become a free nation. I think that's a lot of what was connected in with all of that excitement. And then, thinking about those in Jerusalem, keep in mind now the procession is moving slowly, kind of like a parade, and finally they make it all the way to Jerusalem. And then the Bible says, when Jesus had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred. Can you imagine word of mouth spreading out through those multitudes of people? It says, all the city was stirred. What does that mean? That word stirred is a very powerful word in the Greek text. So it means they were stirred, they were shaken. Imagine being in a situation where there's a violent earthquake. The entire earth is shaking. That's the word that we have here, only it's not like an earthquake in a physical way, but in a mental way, in a spiritual way. Boy, they were stirred. They were shaken. What's going on here? That's what they were saying. So the crowd said, who is this? And the ones who were with Jesus, they were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. So many people, they were wondering about him. They were interested in him. Certainly, everyone had heard about this great Jesus. They had heard about his great teaching. They had heard about his great miracles. They had heard about him raising Lazarus from the dead after he was dead for 4 days, raised him to life again. They had heard about all of that. And then the excitement continued there in Holy Week. What happened on Holy Monday? That's when he went back into the temple and he cleansed the temple, not the temple proper, but rather the court of the Gentiles right next to the temple with such boldness, with such courage, making the whip and driving out the money changers and driving out the merchants out of that area. And those who supported Jesus, that made them even more excited. And now what did he do on Holy Tuesday? Then he came back into the city and he taught about 20 different lessons on that day. Imagine him preaching 20 different, like, mini sermons on that day to the people. There had to be such multitudes around him, and they were so very excited. So what happened then? Why is it that such excitement and interest turned to the word crucify? Why is that? Well, I think you get it already, but for many of them, I believe, they wrongly thought that he would be this great earthly king. Now think about David. David was the greatest king of Israel. David defeated all the enemies. David expanded the borders. Everything was amazing under David. And now here comes the greater son of David, the greatest son of David, and they expect even more from him. So they're thinking again about defeating the Romans, restoring the nation to the glorious status that it had under David. However, what happened? When the people saw, as things were progressing, maybe even on Tuesday itself, and certainly as we get into Wednesday and Thursday, people were starting to see that, oh, this Jesus, he has a plan. And the problem here is his plan is not the same as my plan. I have an idea that when the Messiah comes, this is what I want him to do. But I can see now that this guy, he must not even be the Messiah because his plan is not the same as my plan. Is that how we should look at it? Shouldn't we rather say, oh, Jesus, tell me your plan. You have fulfilled over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament. We know you have to be the Messiah. So make your plan known and then help me to embrace your plan. Is that what the people did? They didn't. Is that what people do today? They don't. Have you ever heard these stories where people have a particular life and they're comfortable in their life, and then they say, I want to be part of a church. So then they go on a journey and they decide, I'm going to go from church to church to church until I find a church that is telling me what I want to hear. Then I'll settle in there and that's going to be great. Isn't that such utter foolishness? The reason to go from church to church to church is to find the church that is fully standing on the Word of God. It's only by the truth of God that we can be set free from our sins. But even back then, though, the people didn't want that. They wanted it their way. What about us? Final question for today. What is it that you want? Do you want His way, or do you want your own way? These are things that God wants us to really think through. Let's understand that the mission of Jesus, far, far greater than freeing the nation of Israel, far, far greater than political freedom from the Romans, his mission was to purchase our eternal freedom, to remove our sins, to wash us clean, to make us the holy children of God, so that one day we could be with God forever and ever. Let's always understand that is his mission, and he completed that mission. And when we are repentant, when we have that godly sorrow, when we have that God-given faith by which we are trusting in Jesus, let us understand those blessings are ours. Let's rejoice when we know we have them. And if we're not quite sure, let's dig into the Bible. God will show us the truth, or ask me a question, or whatever it might be. But don't stay in that situation of being uncertain. God wants us to know for sure that in Christ we are forgiven. For sure in Christ, when the time comes, we are going to be with God forever. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray that you would help us to be like you, humble us, that we are always trusting in you, always trusting in God our Father. We also pray that you would continue to forgive our sins, continue to help us walk in repentance, and also may you help us to set aside our ways whenever our ways are not in agreement with the Bible. Move us to set them aside. Help us to know your ways. Help us to know the ways of God. And help us to always gladly embrace them. In your holy name, we pray. Amen.